tell me your blue skies fade to gray. Tell me your passion's gone away, and I don't need no care or none. You stand in the line just to hit a new low. You're faking a smile with the coffee to go. And tell me your life's been way off. You had a bad day, you take it one down, you sing a sad song just to turn it around. You say you don't know, you tell me don't lie, you work at a smile and you go for a ride. You had a bad day, your camera don't lie, you're coming back down and you really don't mind. You had a bad day, you had a bad day.
All right, everyone, welcome to episode 2 of the Fundamentally Sound Podcast. This is by far going to be the most depressing, not entirely sober podcast that you will listen to regarding the Sweet 16 and Elite 8. I mean, let's be honest. We can be a little loose. We are not professionals. We don't claim to be professionals. We are two dudes with their computers, with microphones that like to talk basketball. It's, of course, your boys, Barstool Reeves and Ben Brust. Ben, that weekend sucked. Only because we're fans. Like, we're fans. It sucked, right?
I'm still in shock. I really think Wisconsin's in the Final Four. I'm going to Phoenix next weekend. I'm going to be in the sun. All is well, and you're coming with me. But
yeah,
no.
Right, like from a casual fan standpoint, that weekend was awesome. There was a bunch of good games, big names, like cool storylines. Awesome. From a writer's standpoint, awesome. From a fan standpoint, Wisconsin and Kentucky, it sucked.
I'm not going to lie. I'm looking at ESPN right now. I'm looking at Luke May shooting this mid-range jump shot, and it's great.
So
it's great.
I tweeted this out. I was obviously at the bar today. People saw the video. I tweeted out. My friend took a video because he called at 11 a.m. He said, "This game's coming down to last possession. I'm videotaping you. Are you cool with that?" I said, "I don't care. Go ahead. It's the least embarrassing thing I can do." And he legit called it. It happened. I tweeted out the video. I was obviously at the bar. I come home from the bar. I turn on the TV. Literally, the first thing on my screen is Luke May hitting that goddamn shot.
I really don't want to hear it. Do you know how many times I've seen this Florida running floater in my face? I don't want to hear it.
We'll start with there. We're going to talk to start with and guys, bear with us. This is obviously our second episode. We're still getting used to this. We're taking all your feedback. We're going to try to break it up a little bit into more segments, quote, better way to talk about it, segments, instead of just doing the recap and then questions at the end. But this episode is going to kind of recap the Sweet 16 Elite 8. We're going to do an episode later this week about the previewing the Final Four. But again, any feedback, anything like that, we do know there's some volume issues. We're working to get that fixed out. But anything content-wise or what we can do better to talk about, please let us know on Twitter, on emails, anything like that. Reach out to us. We're more than willing to listen and try to adjust. So this is the Sweet 16 Elite 8 recap. And we have to start with the buzzer beaters. And we have to start with the Kentucky-North Carolina one just because it's the most recent. It is a real kicking the dick that Malik Monk didn't show up until the last minute.
Yeah, where was he?
I'll tell you what, North Carolina did a great job on him. It wasn't anything weird to say, but Roy just put Justin Jackson, whose height just bothered him. I mean,
yeah,
that's the biggest advantage that North Carolina has is their three-man, Justin Jackson, 6'8".
and that's what I was thinking about. I was like, matchup-wise, is this a bad matchup for Kentucky? Because Justin Jackson's long. They got Meeks. They got Hicks. Obviously, Joe Barry is Joe Barry, but he was hurt from the beginning, and that was just not a good sign for UNC. But they didn't take advantage of it. I think they could have went at him a little more. But Malik Monk did not show up at all.
No, and that's until the last minute when he hit two ridiculous threes.
But that is what he's done all year.
Yep.
But that's not a good excuse though. Like he needs to show up early, make a statement, but he just hides and hides and hides until it's late in the game. That's not okay, especially this time of the year.
Yeah, I mean that if you're a Kentucky fan, that's one of the things that you're kind of the most what if about. You know, what if Malik Monk is Malik Monk, or what if there's not foul trouble? But again, credit to North Carolina, they had a great defensive game plan.
All right, no. We're gonna stop there. You can't credit North Carolina. You got beat by Luke May, which is fantastic.
I mean, Luke May played out of his. He was MOP of the entire region. He played out of his mind the last two games. Like he killed Butler. He had a really good game against Kentucky in the first game too, out in Vegas. Like Luke May, he's great for what North Carolina wants to do, just because he can stretch the floor from that four spot. Like,
you guys even had Stillwell get buckets on you, which is
dude,
fantastic.
Stillman White beat. I'm scared Malik Monk is going to drop like five spots in the draft when Stillman White beat him off the dribble.
And for the record, I'm just going to be let this known to the podcast. I am not the name guy. I am the face guy. I know who does what. I'm so bad with names. It's not even funny.
Yeah. So, but I like what Luke May brings to North Carolina, because he plays that stretch four, and then he can let, you know, whether it's Kennedy Meeks or Tony Bradley operate kind of one-on-one in the post. He killed Butler. He killed Kentucky today, obviously. He had a really nice game against Kentucky in Vegas. But, yeah,
can
I mean
– Can you stop acting like you're okay and, like, analyzing all these games? Can you, like, feel some sort of emotion right now? Like,
I mean, the video, I dropped to my knees. So I felt the emotion. I've now come to the grips of just going, well,
yeah, but,
it's
yeah,
North
but,
Carolina.
But Big Cat dabbed on our loss. He dabbed for us.
Yeah.
And you really didn't do anything. I don't think you're even a big Kentucky fan right now.
No, yeah, that's true. I do hate Kentucky. I did tweet out that I wish I just went to, like, Mary Washington.
Yeah, you should have stayed in the Jersey Shore.
I should have just went and played D2, D3 basketball and just enjoyed March Madness without a rooting interest.
Gosh.
So,
but honestly, if you think your loss was bad, I mean, let's just transition into – I want to rant a little bit about
possession.
Yeah,
they were
pretty
similar in the sense of both teams hit a shot to Wisconsin. Obviously, took the lead. Kentucky hit the shot to tie. So both teams hit a big shot, but yours was a little different because I think Wisconsin fans felt like they had the game won.
I honestly think that the Wisconsin-Florida game was the best game of the weekend, hands down. It was by far the best game of the weekend. Would you not agree with that?
I mean, I think Kentucky Carolina might have topped it, but those two are clearly the best two of the weekend.
All right, we'll throw a vote out there because I know we're obviously biased to our teams.
It'll be, and I just think Elite Eight, you know, the higher implications, the two bigger, quote, bigger basketball names. But yeah, I mean, those two games, there's no other comparison to those two games.
Yeah, no doubt. It just sucks because I hate like the people who are just be like, oh, there's Wisconsin. Wisconsin's not that good. They win. They don't make it, and that's just not fair. It's just not fair, and I'm just complaining right now like a little bitch, and it sucks. Gosh.
But you want to go on a rant about that game? Go ahead and rant.
I want to go rant. Hang on. I want to rant about the last play. Ugh. So we don't do this. We don't. Ugh. We don't get up all the way, 100% of the floor. Like, why wasn't Nigel at the free throw line just letting him catch in front? And then once he catches, stay in front of him, turn him, make him shoot over us. But instead, oh, goodness, he had to be all the way up next to him. I don't even know how to say his name because I'm not the name guy. Cesario, whatever his name was.
Chris
I don't
know.
Yeah, Chris Gioza. Cesario. I don't care. Nigel was right next to him. He got a head of steam going up the floor, and that's all he needed. Let him catch in front. You're up two. Turn him. Make him shoot over you. I am so frustrated by that. We should be in the Elite Eight. We should be playing South Carolina, who I'm probably sure it would have been like 55 to 57, ugly game.
That would have been the most boring Elite Eight game.
Oh, 100%. But I don't care. We would have a shot at a Final Four.
Now, let me ask you, From a player's perspective, did you guys practice end of game situations like that? Like, would you guys go over or up to at the free throw line with X amount of time?
Yes, I'm not even joking. So obviously, gonna do a little boasting right now because I'm a little pissed off. But the Michigan game where I hit the freaking half court shot.
Yeah.
The day before we went over scenarios.
Was that Big Ten tournament or was that regular season?
That was regular season, February 9th. Playing Michigan with fucking Trey Burke, Tim Hardaway, Mitch McGarry.
Glenn Robinson. They had
Glenn Robinson. They had six pros that year. Caris LeVert. It was stupid. So the day before, we went over scenarios. Down two seconds left. Down whatever. You go through scenarios. So we literally worked on the play that hit the half-court shot. I don't know if it was because of the transition of coaches, but we never get that close to somebody. The rule is, no matter what, let him catch in front. And here's the thing. Nigel is such a good defender. If say his name again because I suck at it.
Chris Chioza.
I don't even want to say it again. All right. Chris Chioza, whatever his name is, he got the ball. He ran on like a loop, kind of like I did. He was smart. He looped around so he could get speed going forward. Yeah. And Nigel never was able to turn him. I know it sounds like, hey – He did a running floater from three, but it was a rhythm shot. When you're in rhythm, stuff like that happens.
Yeah, especially a guy like Chioza hits floaters quite a bit in the paint. He just extended it back a couple feet. Like it looks like a difficult shot, but if you're familiar with like shooting a floater, it's not. I don't want to say it's not difficult, but you know how to shoot that in rhythm.
Yeah, he was in rhythm. Yeah. He was in rhythm. He had full head of steam. He was wide open. It was like a. It was like a floater. It was honestly like a 3-2-1 scenario when you're in your front yard and no one's guarding you.
Right, right. You like every person that's touched the basketball has shot. Could hit that. Shot.
Yeah, and has hit it once upon a time.
Right, right.
All right, can we change the subject? I'm getting antsy. Like I'm not over it.
I do want to ask this again because people want to know
what Aaron Harrison.
No. The player's perspective. Did you guys literally practice like missing free throws on purpose and what to do in those type of scenarios?
No, because Bo was not like a miss a free throw on purpose. He was not a foul when you're up three type person. And we got roasted on ESPN by Dockage for not fouling when we were up, or I think we were tied when we had fouls to give, and then Hardaway hit that three in that game. It's just not what we've known to do and been doing for a long time, but I'm indifferent. So first off, it could have been handled differently, and I could run through each scenario. So Coach Guard had a timeout. I've seen coaches call timeouts and set up their defense. All right, cool. We didn't do that. All right, if you're not going to do that, you have to rely on your principles.
Right.
And our principles are let him catch in front. Like, how could we let him get ahead of steam? I'm still not over it. Can we change the subject? I'm still.
Yeah, I mean, again, I do want to go. I do want to change the subject, but kind of stay on it. And it is with that late game scenario. We talked about it off the air. It is one of the hottest topics when it comes to late game scenarios. And I think Florida mishandled it as well. You talk about it from the Wisconsin side, from the Florida side. I don't understand how they didn't foul Showalter up three. You know.
It's the same thing, but like really, how are they going to follow a guy who doesn't even look like he's going to shoot a three pointer?
But that's exactly how, because he put his head down and he had a slow crossover with the defender up in his shorts. You just reach right there, like it would have been a foul on the floor. You send him to the free throw line, and then you rely on the odds of making the first, purposely missing the second, getting an offensive rebound, and putting up within 3 seconds.
Somehow we need to get Ken Pom on this podcast. We need to ask Ken Pom, what would you do in these scenarios?
Yeah.
I think what is your algorithm account for?
Because I've completely, and it's something that, you know, Calipari got killed from when he was at Memphis and not fouling in the Kansas game when he was up three. You know, Florida got killed recently. And what was weird is Spinarco called it, going, well, Mike White doesn't like to foul in these scenarios. And then Showalter hits at three. So I do want to just ask one more thing, because it's something that crossed my mind again. Going back
to you as
a former player, you unfortunately did suffer a loss on a buzzer, essentially a buzzer beater.
Yeah.
And a lot of videos are circulating around now. You know, it happens in state tournament with the losing locker room. You see the kids crying, everything like that. Kentucky players, there's one circulating around of De'Aaron Fox and Bam Adebayo, you know, kind of breaking down. What's the locker room? You always hear about the winning locker room. You see the celebration. You see the coach getting doused with water. What's it like on the losing side? What's the locker room like, especially losing, you know, like we're talking about in these late game situations?
You know, I really don't think I've changed, because after that loss against Kentucky when Aaron Harrison hit the three, I was just in shock. Like, I didn't cry. Like, and I'm a sensitive guy. I'll be the first to admit that. But I did not cry, because I was like, no, it doesn't feel right. Like, we're playing for the championship. This team was destined to do this. But it didn't happen. And I remember sitting on the bus, and I still wasn't crying, but I was like, all right, well, they got everyone coming back except me, plus these two freshmen who have made an impact on our team, and they're going to make a run. And obviously, they beat that 38-0 Kentucky team. But buzzer beaters for teams who believe in what they do, it just sucks. It really does, because you don't really believe that it happened. And I went all day Saturday thinking, like, all right, we're playing tomorrow. Like, right. It didn't happen. I think it was Titus, but Mark Titus was like, hey, I really don't remember Wisconsin losing, because it was such a weird shot. Like, who shoots a floater three for the win and ends up, like, under the hoop?
Yeah.
Like it's usually like a catch and shoot, like hold your follow through behind the arc. It just didn't register with me, and it still hasn't. Even though the games are over, I still think I'm going to Phoenix. I'm stuck in Chicago. I want to fly to Phoenix and get out of this stupid weather. Gosh, could we just transition, please?
So it took 1.5 episodes for our first breakdown on the podcast. So we will transition from there. And to kind of what you talked about, where you feel like a team should be playing for a championship or for a Final Four, and that's Kansas. Kansas was the most impressive team through the first three games in the NCAA tournament, especially when they blew the doors off against Purdue in the second half. But, you know, you talk about weird situations. Bill Self is now 2-5 in Elite Eights at Kansas.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, what's your takeaway on Bill Self?
So before I get to Bill Self, because we have a good Twitter question about that. I hear you on the Kansas thing, like being the hottest team in the country. But I hate how undervalued Oregon is, yeah, like getting, yeah, attention.
We'll touch on Oregon a little bit, but I agree with you on that.
All right, so you want to stay with Kansas?
Yeah, I think let's talk about Bill Self real quick, because we have to, because they were, you know, everyone kind of
started. Yeah, everyone was like, Kansas, oh, Kansas is the best team in the tournament. They're playing the best. No, I'm with you.
Well, they had a home game. They were playing in Kansas City.
Kansas City, and Oregon came out and just smacked them right in the face. They didn't back down. Dorsey was being Dorsey. And here's the thing about Oregon. I'm blanking right now. Dylan Brooks hasn't hit 20-plus points all tournament. And they're going to the Final Four. That's a miracle.
He's been their third best player. Like, Jordan Bell and Tyler Dorsey have been Oregon's best two players. And Oregon made a Final Four. Like, saying that sentence out loud, I tweeted it. Saying that sentence out loud makes no sense.
No, like, really.
Those two sentences, like, those two thoughts should not be one together.
It really doesn't. And we're going to recap, like, the Final Four teams a little bit. So let's stick with Kansas. Obviously, their police station trolled them a little bit.
Unbelievable tweet.
But
that,
one of our
that guy should get a raise.
Seriously, one of our Twitter questions from Michael Capasso 1. Bill Self, 2-5 in the record in the Elite Eight. They've dominated all year. What changes? So, and I can answer this as a former player. And after watching what I've been through, so we started 16-0 my senior year, set the school record, lost 5 of 6, ended up winning 8 in a row, and then obviously getting hot in the tournament, going into the Final Four.
Were you guys a 4 seed that year?
No, we were 2 seed.
You guys were the 2 seed that year. That's right.
Yeah, we were the 2 seed, which was well deserved. But here's my thing about that. Kansas, if you've won 12 straight Big Ten regular season titles, I almost feel like they shouldn't. This sounds weird, but like they shouldn't put that much into winning the regular season because obviously they're losing steam. Like we didn't. It's so hard to win the regular season, the tournament title, and then make a run in the tournament. Think about it. These are college kids. College kids are not able to understand what it takes to be that elite all the time. Because when they go on an 8-0 run, you're going to tell me that these kids aren't going out and feeling themselves and getting drunk on the college campus. Then you're lying. Like, it's just so hard to sustain success with everything that's in front of these kids nowadays.
And I will say the one thing that's a little unfair is to judge Bill Self off of the NCAA tournament because it is single elimination. And it's the one thing where the best team doesn't always win because it's one game.
You're right. It's not the NBA. It's not a best of five. It's not a best of seven.
And when you look at the Oregon game, you know, Kansas has been a top 5 3-point shooting team for the entire year. And they go 5 for 20. Bill Self couldn't control that.
But Riggs. Eventually, the consistencies of what is happening is going to catch up with you.
Sure, so, but I hate judging people strictly on the NCAA tournament.
I don't disagree. But sooner or later, the cream rises to the top. And if they're that good, they're going to go on. If Kansas won the Big 12 title, how many games in a row do they win? They usually were 16-2 or 17-1, whatever it was. That means they won 8 in a row at some point, 6 in a row at some point. All it takes is to win 4 in a row in the NCAA tournament. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. But again, it is single elimination. Like, you lose at some point, which is, again, it's why I always thought it's unfair to say, like, Gonzaga chokes.
No, but if you win the Big 12 tournament 12 years in a row, you have to be good at winning a lot of games in a row. But clearly, there becomes an issue when you get in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but what is it? Because is it Bill Self? Is it the team? Is it a combination? Because it's unfair, I think, to judge the coach completely on the team. Like I said, he can't handle, like, it's not his fault they went 5 for 20.
No, it's not. But maybe he's putting too much effort into winning that Big 12 title that when the players are in the moment of in February and January and March, when they're trying to win that title, that they're putting too much into it. And then when late March comes around, when the tournament matters, they're out of gas.
Yeah, but like this year, they lost in their first game of the Big 12 tournament. So they were rested coming into it.
True. Then maybe I just talked myself into a Bill Self problem. I think you just proved my point.
Let's stay with it though, because Oregon did play really well. I don't want to discredit Oregon or anything that they've done, because they were pretty much left for dead after the Chris Boucher injury, losing to Arizona in the Pac-12 championship game. A lot of people kind of thought they would lose to Rhode Island in the round of 32, and they almost did, but they came back. Tyler Dorsey has gigantic stones and just keeps hitting big shot after big shot.
By the way, that interview with Dorsey and Bell, like I was like, what is going on?
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Now?
Oh, yeah.
Just a bunch of clowns, like, please, somebody, like, speak coherent, please.
But I love...
Speak to the common folk.
I love that Dana Altman is now in a Final Four. Like, he's such a good coach.
Yeah, no, he ran into a buzzsaw two years in a row. I was down 14 my senior year in the round of 32 to Oregon. But unfortunately, they were playing us in Milwaukee.
Yeah, home game. We came
home game. Crowd was nuts. Humble brag, not really a humble brag, just a brag. I set the 3-point record at the time, hitting the game-winning three, going up 2, and it was just a perfect storm. And then the next year, Joe Young played the Badger team that was unbelievable, that beat your 38-0 Kentucky team. So they had really good teams, and they were a really bad matchup for us. Somehow we just snuck by. I am happy for them because I really enjoyed watching them play basketball. They play at good pace. They have good players.
They
Dorsey.
do a great job switching up their defense. Like
Let's talk.
it showed in the Michigan game.
Let's talk about Bell real quick. Are
Oh,
you
he's the
kidding
best.
me?
If
Are
he
you
does not
kidding me?
win National Defensive Player of the Year, something is wrong.
What did he end up with? 11, 11, 9, and 7, or 11, 11, and 7 blocks? It was stupid.
And he, but it's not like that. He's just always in the right spot. Like he's always in the right spot.
Who's calling you?
My fiance.
Well, where is she? Was she out?
She's back home doing wedding stuff.
Ah,
So
yeah.
yeah,
That's
that's
not good.
yeah. This is recording at its finest. When you're truly washed, you get your future wife calling you about wedding situations.
Perfect. Perfect. I'm worried about you now.
Yeah, I know. No, it's easy. But Jordan Bell, like he is the National Defensive Player of the Year, and not only that, but he saved him. He won the game against Michigan by getting those offensive rebounds.
Offensive rebounds, blocks at the right time. He was
Yep.
just in the right spot at the right
Yep.
time all game. And then obviously Tyler Dorsey was just, he's just got stones. He's just got stones. And by the way, Oregon was trying to Arizona that game. And I think I texted you this. They didn't run anything.
You're
Like,
talking the Michigan game or the
no.
Kansas game?
I'm talking about the Kansas
The
game.
Kansas game.
Oregon didn't run anything. They were trying to Arizona that game. It was
Yeah.
ridiculous. It
Well,
was ridiculous.
that's kind of been the secret. Like Oregon's offense has not been great in the NCAA tournament. They've hit big shots, they've scored well, but it's been a lot predicated on what they've done defensively. Like they
Yeah,
haven't run some like great sets offensively.
as you know, as I've told you, I was 4-0 this week. This overall this weekend, I was 8-2-1. 4-0 of that was Oregon under, Oregon under.
Yeah.
And it carried me. So obviously their defense is doing something. And just out of principle, like, I don't care what happens. I'm playing Oregon and I'm playing the under in the Final Four.
Right, like
It's
it's almost.
especially, no, it's perfect because Oregon, UNC, we're going to set the total at 160. It's going to be high up there, or it's probably going to be 156, 157. And I'm playing the exact same thing I've played all tournament. Oregon under, book it, everybody. 4-0 on the way here. We're playing it next weekend.
Well, you heard it right there from Ben that Oregon and the under are automatic plays.
Yeah, but you also contributed to saying they're playing defense.
Yeah, they are. Like Oregon's a really good defensive team.
They stopped Kansas, who was averaging 90 plus points a game in this tournament.
So let's stick with this real quick here and go to let's go to South Carolina because that happened today.
Yeah, it did. Let's stay with it. Let's stay with the relevance.
Can you believe they are in a Final Four?
I'm happy for the scariest, nicest coach in America.
Yeah, and I want to kind of go on that transition a little bit later in terms of hiring coaches because Frank Martin was an unbelievable hire.
Yeah, he was the only person who made Elite Eight at Kansas State.
Yeah, and he almost won that Elite Eight. So it's
And he had regrets about how he handled it,
yeah.
and that guy made changes. He's like, I'm not gonna let the same thing happen, and they beat the Gators, and I'm not happy about it. But anyway.
Yeah, me neither. What so what did you did you guys what was your guys' typical day between the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight? Did you guys do a shoot around? Did you guys do full practice? Did you guys do video?
We did a half and half. Like
Half and half.
we did half speed. We'd do our shooting. We'd get warmed up. We'd go over plays. Our scout team would run plays, and just so we could get familiar with what they were running.
Okay.
And it sounds like Frank Martin put them through the ringer and made them
Yeah,
go
because it
full
sounds like at
speed.
Kansas State he didn't even do that.
No, he was saying we just did shoot around, and
Right.
he regretted that forever.
But this is an unbelievable story. The fact that they are in the Final Four. Sindarius Thornwell is doing as much as of Kemba Walker, Shabazz Napier that we've ever seen.
That's exactly. Sindarius has been unreal, and you know what? He's kind of boring, to be honest. Like
Yeah,
he's not flashy. He's
No, like
long.
he's not going to beat somebody like, off of a crossover dribble and yam it on him. It's going to be he'll go mouse in the house. Like he'll post up a smaller guard like he did today against Florida and just play
Yeah.
bully ball.
So when he catches, he's sizing you up. He's like, all right, what's my next move? Am I gonna put my body on this guy and bring him into the post? Am I gonna try and shot fake and be smooth? He's gonna kind of Paul Pierce game.
A little
if
bit.
That makes sense.
A little bit. Yeah, he's very methodical in his moves. He hits the open shot. He knows where to go. He knows when to cut. He's really smart on the offensive side of the ball, and defensive. He's just a really smart player.
I'm not gonna lie. I was watching. I was like, I am really happy I'm not out there like trying to hold on to the ball and not turn it over. Like, they are in your shit. And this is what I said last episode. I was like, South Carolina is in your shit all game. All game. And that's just not fun. It's not fun to deal with. You can't get rhythm. And I think that played an effect on Florida.
Yeah, especially because it's not full court. Like, they only do it in the half court. Like, they're not West Virginia where they will get up in you full court and trap you, you know, 90 feet from the rim. They play half-court basketball, and they just extend and make you work your ass off to even make a pass to the wing.
Yeah, no, and, like, they get up, like, play on the wing, overextend, like kind of like what Florida did to Wisconsin. Wisconsin was uncomfortable. They turned it over a bunch. But South Carolina did that to Florida in the half-court all game.
Yeah.
And let's talk about how unbelievably terrible – Florida shot from three in the second half. Did they hit a three? I think they were over 12.
No, they were over 12.
Yeah, they screwed me. I had the over in the game, and they were, I think it was 136, and they had 73 at half.
I had Florida freaking minus three.
Yeah, and that was part, that Florida over loss was part of my, I think, 8-2-1. So I'm not going to complain. I'm going to be very vocal about my picks right now, because ever since I started this podcast, I've been winning.
Yeah. Ever since we put it out. But what happened with Florida, though, is they stopped cutting. Like, the first half, they were back cutting. They were making South Carolina think about what they had to do defensively. The second half, Florida just stopped cutting, and they pretty much accepted, all right, we're going to play, like, we're going to get pushed up and have to start our offense up higher, you know, play high post extended. That didn't happen.
To me, the teams that keep playing, like, the way they got them there, are the teams that keep going. But the teams that play tight and, you know, worry about what they're running, it obviously has an effect on the game. Right. And I'll stand by that. When we were good at Wisconsin, we just believed in each other, believed in what we were doing. We know we were going to be good. We know we were going to be okay. But when we sucked is when we're, like, unsure, and that's exactly what I felt from Florida today. Maybe that's the inexperience of Coach White.
Yeah, maybe. I think they just panicked, which is weird because they've seen South Carolina twice. Like, they know what to expect.
How are you going to panic against South Carolina? I felt like I was watching the SEC semifinal game in Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it was.
And that's probably why America wasn't watching, to be honest.
But the one thing I will say about South Carolina, besides their defense, what I like is they have two guys, obviously Thornwell, but Dozier, too, that can just go get a bucket. I mean, that's so key in the NCAA tournament, is to have a guy that can go get you a bucket.
Yeah, and you know what? That's why they're not going to lose to Gonzaga. And what a transition, man. I'm getting this whole radio thing. We're gonna transition to Gonzaga. You should see my notes.
Yeah, we have notes this episode.
Yeah, we were just winging it last time, but we got notes. We're going to Gonzaga. They're going to the Final Four.
I love it. I am a Gonzaga stan, and I have been since Blake Stepp and Casey Calvary in the late 90s when I was like 13, 14 years old. I love Gonzaga.
I think you said winner of Gonzaga Arizona was going to win the.
Yeah,
that
I said that in my original blog about the whole tournament. Is I felt whoever won that was going to win the thing.
Obviously, we're not idiots. They played Xavier,
right?
But essentially, they played Arizona because Chris Mack is a Sean Miller product. Haha.
They played essentially like Arizona JV, yeah. But JV beat varsity.
It was the JV team of Arizona. But I'm not going to lie, this Gonzaga team has me pretty pumped. There's no way they lose to South Carolina. What's that line get open at? Minus seven? If it's minus seven, I'd be surprised. It's probably going to be minus nine.
Oh, I think it's going to be like 5.5.
Really? That
yep.
low?
Yep.
Just because South Carolina plays D?
Yep. And I think a lot of people like South Carolina.
No way.
I bet you it ends up 5.5.
No way. No way. I'm going to look at what they open line at in Vegas.
But yeah, I do agree that this Gonzaga team, I've said it from the get-go, I think they're the second most complete team in the country. And we've seen them beat teams in a variety of different ways. They beat West Virginia playing kind of a ugly game. You know, it wasn't up and down and a clean game. They turned it over. Nigel Williams-Goss was not good in that game. But then went out against Xavier, and their offense carried them. And Williams-Goss was really good in that game. So they can play any way that you want.
Yeah, I see it at -7.
It is okay, it's at 7. I bet it gets bet down.
138 at the total. That's a good total. I can see it going
Gonzaga
either way.
Gonzaga can play slow.
Yeah, they can play slow.
And their number one defense in KenPom in South Carolina, I think, is 3.
Yeah, that's a sign of a good team. If you can play slow and win. I see Gonzaga under. I mean, it's almost too easy for me that it scares me.
I mean, right now, I don't know, man. I'm in my own head trying to look at this board. But what's your take on Gonzaga? What do you feel? Do you look at them different now that they've made a Final Four?
I don't, because as you know, they're getting transfers this year. They're getting guys that have put up numbers.
McDonald's All-American, that's a freshman.
No, I know. Like they are a complete team. They're not KenPom like number one in pretty every statistical category. Like it's happening for a reason. And they're playing South Carolina. This is what frustrates me about Wisconsin. This is the perfect opportunity for them to make it to the national championship again and keep us on an elite level. But now we're gonna have to rebuild. We lose our seniors, and I'm going on a rant because I'm still butthurt, clearly.
Yeah, I mean, trust me, I feel the same way. Like, if...
No, you don't feel the same way. Because you're going to get 5-star recruits this year. You guys are going to do the same thing. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
there was a 5-star recruit that redshirted this year, so I do feel pretty silly about Kentucky's roster for next year.
We did that with Brian Butch.
Oh, that's right. You guys did. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So, all right, so... Speaking of...
Hang on. Shout out to Jordan Matthews. Give him props.
Jordan Matthews is... that was a little Ali Farukamesh 3 against West Virginia.
Not really, because it was in rhythm. It was a good shot. But just props to him. He wasn't playing great all year. He transferred for the opportunity to go to a Final Four and hit the game, quote-unquote, the game-winning shot against Huggy Bear the Grabber.
Yeah.
What game was that? Did you see him grab and then blame it on his player that he had a heart attack?
I mean, what is the defibrillator went off?
No. I mean, maybe, but you know what I'm talking about. It was like, it was right before the Big East or the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Speaking of coaches, let's stay with this because it's something. I want to talk about Archie Miller getting the Indiana job and something that goes along with it. And that is, first off, I think Archie Miller going to Indiana is a great hire. I think if you asked, you know, Indiana fans and took a straw poll, he's probably like their third or fourth on their wish list behind like Brad Stevens. I think they might have preferred Chris Mack over him. And some would say Steve Alford. But He's a great coach. I think it's a great fit. All he has to do is recruit Indiana, and they'll be fine.
No, I really do like the hire. If this makes sense, and I was trying to talk myself into putting this into layman's terms, but he's kind of like a Tom Crean, not as crazy, just a little sweatier.
Yeah, I think he's a better in-game coach than Tom.
Yeah, like he can recruit the same type players who are athletic. He took Elite Eight. He took Dayton to the Elite Eight farther than Tom Crean took Indiana, if I'm not mistaken.
I think Indiana. Yeah, I think did they make one Elite Eight?
I don't think they made an Elite Eight
when they lost to Syracuse. No, that would have been the Sweet 16.
That was a Sweet 16 Syracuse beat it.
Yeah,
exactly. In 2013. And that's what I'm just thinking, like, Archie, he gets the same type players as Tom Crean at Dayton. But now he'll be able to get them like a half a star to a star better recruits at Indiana because he's got a tradition, he's got a facility, he's got a fan base. I'm sure he's got a little money. Like, he's got everything he needs to be successful in Indiana.
Right. All he has to do is recruit the state of Indiana, and he's fine.
Yeah. I mean, similar to what he did at Dayton, minus them losing big products to Ohio State, which they haven't been doing recently. But no, I really like the hire. He was successful at Dayton. He's going to bring energy. He's going to fire up the fan base. RIP Tom Crean. I'm going to miss him. I'm really going to miss him. I'm going to miss Wisconsin beating him. I'm going to miss him like running up and down the sideline like a crazy person. RIP.
So speaking of that, now everyone wants to go, well, where does Tom Crean end up? And there's a question that was asked, and it's something that is unique to talk about, of do you take a Tom Crean or do you hire an assistant? And Wisconsin obviously went through this, you know, last year.
Yeah, no, and I really like this debate. I don't know why more teams don't just hire the assistant coach. Think about it. You have a head coach. He comes in for 3 years. He does a great job. If he does a great job, that's rare. Coaches don't come in and do that good of a job in a short period of time. And then they bring in some guy from, I don't know, VCU or the MAC or the Missouri Valley, someone who's had success mid-major. And what happens is you end up having to recruit and turn over the roster. Some guy transfers to a high major. Second guy transfers to a high major. I just don't get it. Then you're putting your program backwards. The head coach, the associate head coach knows the roster, knows the players. Why not just build off that? I don't get it. And then you don't have to hire a search firm and pay them millions of dollars to bring in a guy who you don't even know is going to be successful.
Yeah, the search firm is the
dumbest. It's a joke.
I'll tell you what.
Can they hire me to be a search firm?
I was going to say, any university that wants to hire a new coach, call me in Brust. We will be your search firm. We will spend, or we will cost you guys a lot less money, and we will get you, like, we know who you should call.
If I'm not mistaken, Duquesne hired Titus. You're hired by Dayton.
Yeah. Fuck Titus. Titus is my rival now. Yeah. Because we're both A-10 coaches.
I'm in line for the Washington job.
Oh, well, they hired Mike Hopkins.
Oh, that's right.
You might be the odd man out. You can be my assistant, though.
Yeah. No, I'm not an associate head coach type.
But I think here's the thing. If you do, and this is my biggest complaint when it comes to hiring, quote, a new regime. Like Georgetown. Georgetown, if they go outside of the John Thompson family.
Georgetown. No, stop right there. That's where I'm a good fit. John Thompson II's going to freaking love me.
Well, that's the thing. Like if they don't hire Ewing, and let's say they hire, you know, let's just say for the hell of it, a Jamin Christian.
Who are they even looking at? Like, I'd be scared to take that job as the first person after the JT era.
Yeah, I mean, the names that you hear are pretty, you know, it's Hurley, Danny Hurley, it's Ewing.
I heard Ewing, but I'm thinking outside of, like, the typical Georgetown
product. I think, a great fit for them, and you have to let him build up the program, is Jamin Christensen from Mount St. Mary's. He's 34. He's made the NCAA tournament. He's local. He knows the area. That's the thing. If you hire someone like that, let them build the program. Like, you can't expect immediate results. Let the person come in and develop their system. Get their players in. That's my biggest complaint when it comes to hiring. Like, I don't mind hiring the up-and-coming mid-major coach because you've seen them, okay, they've won this league. Like, Billy Donovan, he was successful at Marshall despite not making an NCAA tournament. Mike White, successful at Louisiana Tech despite not making an NCAA tournament. Doing a hell of jobs at Florida. Let them build up the program. You just give them more than the 3 years. Like, don't let at year three being like, well, he needs to be fired, because then you're just starting all over again.
And that's why I'm going to complain about, like, what Illinois did with John Gross. John Gross was like a 500 coach at Ohio, but he made the tournament and they won a couple games, and all of a sudden he's like this big commodity. And I just think that was a search firm hire for the University of Illinois, who's a storied basketball program, and then set the program backwards. Although I do like the Oklahoma State coach that they hired.
I love the Brad Underwood hire.
The Underwood hire is great. The only worry that I have, and I'm not saying, and I've heard this, doesn't mean he's not going to be successful. What kind of pipeline does he have to Chicago? I'm not saying if you don't get Chicago, you're not going to be a successful coach in Illinois. But there's plenty of talent to pick from. And if you have some sort of pipeline to the AAU coaches of Mac Irvin Fire and all those guys, it definitely helps.
The high school coaches and Simeon,
Whitney Young, all the talent that comes through there. If you have a good connection there, that's definitely going to help your chances of success.
Yeah, I'm fine either way. Just, you know, hire who you want for your program. But if you do hire them in major, let them build. Like, give them time. Don't expect expectations right away.
So what's your number? Are you fine with 3 years? Is that enough for you?
4 years. 4 years.
I think you got to do 4 years. Like, 4 years?
4 years minimum. That's a full rotation of your guys coming in.
Otherwise, like, the first year is, all right, you play with guys who think they can make it work. Some guys transferred. Okay, then end of the first year, more guys transfer. So you're in year two. You bring in freshmen that you recruited, and they're freshmen. So freshmen go to sophomores. Then you're already at year three, and you're expected to win? Are you kidding me? That's just not reasonable.
Right. I think after year four, if you can see improvement, you know, your players are getting better. You go from, you know, let's just say 7-9 in the conference to now or 6-9 or 6-10 in the conference, and now you're 8-8, and you're more competitive and you're beating better teams. That's the step in the right direction that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you need, and it'll happen. Like, just give those mid-major coaches a chance. Like, you don't need to retread on. And I'm not saying you shouldn't hire Tom Crean. I think Tom Crean would be fine at most.
Where's he gonna go?
I don't know, man. Like, honestly, he would be a really good fit at Georgetown if it wasn't for John Thompson II. Because he recruited the DMV area really well.
Who did he get? Refresh my memory.
Oladipo. I think Troy Williams is from there too.
Okay.
So he's gotten a couple people. OG and Anobi's from there.
So he relates well with that area, which is completely hysterical.
Right, like he recruits the DMV area well.
Which there's, don't get me wrong, there's tons of talent.
Right. I mean, yeah. So, but not only that, but like, you know, he coached at Marquette, so he's somewhat familiar with the, you know,
Midwest area.
Well, not in the Midwest, but the smaller private school that is Georgetown.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
I think he would be a really good fit at Georgetown if it wasn't for John Thompson II.
Yeah, I think I saw you tweet this at Big Cat. Like, you don't want to be the first person to jump into Georgetown.
Right.
With JT second, like, after his son got fired. Yeah, like, well, look what he's doing. He's not doing what my son did. It's just a nightmare waiting to happen.
Yeah, so that's why I'm really, like, I kind of think they just hire Ewing because they know that it's still, like, the regime. But I don't know. Like, that's one job I'm very curious in. Same with Dayton. I'm curious in Dayton, too, because that's a good job.
Yeah, that is a good job. I mean, there's plenty of talent in Ohio. It's a good conference.
Yeah, it's arguably the best job in that conference.
No, it is. I would put my name on the fact that it is, but I want to jump back to Kentucky, and I want to hear your thoughts on the future of the program. That was not a good game for your program. I was never high on this team. I am high on Calipari. I think he does a great job, but
yeah,
talk to me.
Can we stop people from saying John Calipari can't coach?
Oh, he's a great coach.
Yeah. I want someone that's not associated with Kentucky to say that.
And I despise him because the end of my career, but unbelievable coach. Are you kidding me? This guy takes kids and turns them into juniors and seniors in half a year.
Not only that, but his in-game stuff has gotten better each year. Like, you could see it against UCLA when he, the first two plays at a halftime, he immediately found the mismatch with Alford on Briscoe and ran Briscoe on the short circle into the post.
Yeah, and what's most impressive to me is the fact that they defend.
Yeah.
Like, he can get them to lock up.
It's
so hard to get freshmen to even play hard.
And that's
he gets freshmen to lock up and play together.
Right, and that's the biggest lie with John Calipari teams. Everyone thinks that they want to get out. He wants to just run and gun. He'd much prefer to play games in the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wants to play. He wants to defend for 25 seconds.
Yeah, and that's hard for me to say. It really is, but he does a great job.
Right. And I just wanted somebody besides me and not associated with Kentucky to say that. But, the outlook of the program, they'll be top five next year. You know, they have a hell of a recruiting class coming in. You know, I'm curious to see who stays, who transfers, who goes, whatnot. But, again, that's college basketball as a whole. They will always be a contender.
They're a blue blood.
Because talent always survives, you know.
They're a blue blood. They're
right,
a blue blood.
Right.
They get talent. They're going to get recruits. And
you have a top five coach in the game right now.
I'll never be able to get to say that about my program. We're not
but
a blue
Wisconsin,
blood.
Wisconsin, you always think that they'll be there just because they're consistent.
Yeah, I mean, we've been to the tournament 19 straight years.
Right, right. And that's all you ask for is consistency.
And part of me, like, is – it gets annoying when people complain about, like, getting their heart torn out. Like, some teams would, like, do anything to get their heart torn out to even be in the position we are.
Right. Yeah, like, I mean, how many teams would wish they made the tournament and at least get to the Sweet 16?
We have the most, I think it was 12 years in a row we've made a bowl game and the NCAA tournament, and the next closest was 9 years, and that was like a run like 10 years ago by, I don't know, maybe Florida.
I would say Florida would be my guess.
But whatever it is, that's the best in the nation. Can we stop like crying about how much it hurts to lose? I get it. It does hurt. I'm not happy about it.
No, I mean, trust me, I understand.
Like, Riggs, when Kentucky plays football, are you, like, all pumped up that they're going to possibly make a bowl game?
Hey, we played on New Year's Day this year.
No, but, like, you're turning it on Saturday, and if you're not even paying attention when you go to the bar. And if they're in a game, then you pay attention. We know at Wisconsin we're going to be in every game. In football, in basketball, our girls' volleyball program's been to the Final Four a couple of years now. Our hockey program's always been going with a couple of national championships. We're good at everything. So it just frustrates me when people complain about our hard losses. Obviously, it sucks.
Yeah,
I hate it too. I wanted more than anyone for us to go to the Final Four because I want to get the hell out of Chicago. And I'm going to Phoenix. And I want to bathe in that hot sun. I get it.
Well, and that's the thing. Every program has tough losses. Like, because not the same team wins every goddamn year. Like, look at North Carolina. They're coming off arguably the worst loss ever. And now they're back in the Final Four.
I don't know about the worst loss ever.
I mean, to lose your national championship like that?
I mean, they didn't play bad. Marcus Paige hit the unbelievable double clutch three.
When I say worst, I mean the most heartbreaking loss.
Okay.
Because, like, it's in the title
Fair
game.
Enough. Fair enough.
Right. So it happens. Like, it happens. Every program has.
And then Nate Britt's family had to adopt somebody so they could have some pride in their family.
Yeah, how about Chris Jenkins now? Like, just a shot of Chris Jenkins sitting in the stands now.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
No, he's just like, yeah, I've been here.
Yeah, he's like, I'm pretty sure I'm like was the most popular person in college
like
basketball.
They showed him after Luke May's shot, and he was just like, oh, you only hit it from 15 feet? That's cute.
Yeah, right. Like,
let me know when you step out a little bit.
Let me know when your team defends the worst play ever.
Right.
Gosh, so. I guess I could keep going on rants on the way people defend the last play. It's like,
oh, I mean, we'll save that for the offseason because I got a lot of thoughts about
it. It was terrible. It was terrible. It was terrible. It was terrible.
It sure was.
They had two guys standing. Okay, we'll save that. We'll save
we'll
that.
Save it. All right, so that's episode two. Like I said, we're trying to get better. We are working on the technology side in terms of better microphones, editing, everything like that. So bear with us. We
yeah.
know there's some
so,
volume issues.
Yeah, I ordered a new microphone for everybody, so cool out a little bit.
Yeah, well, so we're trying. We understand there will be some volume issues.
And if you guys are looking for guests, we can get some guests.
Yeah, let us know who you want. We probably aren't going to have, you know, somebody said have random people on. That's probably not going to happen.
When you say random people, are they looking for, like, listeners? To
yeah, come? Yeah, that was his suggestion. I'm pretty sure he just wanted to come on and talk for, like, 5
no,
minutes.
No, we can get some good legit people.
Yeah, so let us know kind of, like, who you,
but
you know.
You got to like us first.
Right, subscribe. The iTunes is a little weird, so it's it is our podcast is in iTunes under the Fundamentally Sound podcast name, but the artwork is still from my old podcast, Storm the Court.
Which it is, sucked.
It is in the process of getting changed.
Yeah,
so
all right, perfect.
Make sure you subscribe, rate, review. That helps us. It helps us climb the charts. It gets rivals off the charts. So give us
there's
a five
no,
star rating.
There's really no good college basketball podcast. I'm going to shout out to all the – oh, goodness, I want to talk about the SI Kids reporter.
Oh, yes. The coolest kid in the world.
Coolest kid. He was on CBS today.
Yeah. He stuffed Dennis Dodd and that loser-ass South Carolina beat reporter in a locker. Like, Dennis Dodd, and I don't even know your name, South Carolina
David,
beat reporter.
David, he was a NASCAR reporter. I'm a big NASCAR fan, believe it or not.
Oh,
he was a
right,
NASCAR
so...
reporter turned South Carolina beat reporter. So terrible. The worst part is they were to the first game of the night. Like, are you going to cry about your deadline? Are you serious?
Well, he was bitching about the Florida game. Like, he was, for whatever reason, covering the Florida game, too. And was bitching about the kid asked a legit
a great question.
It was like
tie it into
mom,
your story.
That's an awesome storyline. Like that's an awesome storyline. And I'm sorry, the only question he would have interrupted would have been your bitch ass asking, "Oh, what was going through your mind the last play?" Or tell me what happened on that last play because you suck. Like journalists suck. You guys are pieces of shit that ask terrible questions. And I can say this: I graduated with a journalism degree. I know what you're trained to ask. Most of you guys suck. The people, the beat reporter sitting there, you guys are just bitching because a kid asked a question that you never would have thought of. And it interrupted you from getting a shitty story in for your dumbass newspaper.
Okay, finally you bring a little fire into this. I like it.
That guy pissed me off. Like, I wanted him to block me on Twitter because I was just roasting him. Being like, you're a fucking loser. Bitching about a little kid who's already a better reporter than you. And Dennis Dodd, you bitch about, like, all right, I'm not an Aaron Rodgers fan, whatever. But Aaron Rodgers, he bitched about Aaron Rodgers on the floor for the Wisconsin team, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Now
yeah,
Dennis
yeah.
Dodd's bitching about this, like, SI Kids reporter. Do something. You've been around forever. Write
zero
something
fun,
that I want to
sir.
Read. You're irrelevant, Dennis Dodd. You're
zero
irrelevant.
Fun, sir.
Like, your name now, but you're irrelevant. You haven't done anything worth a damn in years. And South Carolina beat reporter David or whatever your dumbass name is, you're irrelevant.
John Rothstein.
John Rothstein. Insufferable.
Oh, gosh. It's terrible.
This is March.
This is March. No shit. Really? This is March. He said this is March today for the South Carolina-Florida game. Like, we're nothing like really like this is March happened.
He's a robot. That guy is a goddamn robot.
Ugh. All right.
We have to end on that. We're ending on the rant. Follow us at Fundamentally Sound PD.
Rate, subscribe.
Go to iTunes, subscribe, rate us 5 stars. We are 5-star recruits, goddammit. Follow Ben Brust.
I was a 3-star, but we're a 5-star podcast.
I was a 1-star, so you got me by 2.
Yeah,
I was rated as a 1-star.
You're also 5'9" and junky.
Rate us on iTunes. It's on Stitcher, all that good stuff. SoundCloud. Follow Ben Bruss. Follow the site, Fundamentally Sound PD. Follow me at Barstool Reeks. We will be back later this week previewing the Final Four and looking at the individual matchups there. So stay tuned. Again, any feedback, please let us know. Thanks for listening. This was episode